Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I found it interesting, Adam, that we saw what the Cardinals did once Kyler Murray got banged up. They went with Colt McCoy. They stole a game, and then we saw what happened last week. Should the Browns be thinking of doing the same here with Baker Mayfield, who admitted yesterday he's as beat up as he's been since he came into the league?
Yeah, because, I mean, Case Keenum is not a stiff, right? The guy can play. He's not going to start in this league, but he can play. And the question is a diminished Baker Mayfield worse than 100% Case Keenum? And I think those are conversations they're having in that building right now.
All right. I think they got to have those conversations. I got to agree with you, Adam, because it's like, okay, I know he's been a little rough here, but it's like he you're figuring out whether or not he's the franchise guy or he's not the franchise guy. And I'm like, all right, 1 week against Detroit, Case Keenum should be able to beat this team with the Browns. Then you can get him ready for Baltimore. I don't even know if there's a discussion. I would probably just sit Baker Mayfield if he's as banged up as he says he is, Adam.
Level of panic, I guess, up within the fan base. I'm sure that the organization's having real anxiety, but among the fan base, is there like, hey, we're getting tired of this crap? Is that what's going on?
Adam, we're getting multiple calls every hour about Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
So what level of panic does that sound like to you?
That's you know, delusional, but yeah, I understand it. I mean, it is the nature of fans. Look, I mean, Baker is at a very tenuous time in his career. I mean, they in the Odell versus Baker schism, they obviously sided with Baker, which was the right move because, you know, Odell is a whole different ball of wax. But the question is the next time they have to make a huge organizational fork in the road decision, is Baker the guy they go with? And certainly he's not going to get Josh Allen money. That ship has sailed, and I think he would actually be wise not even to really push for a contract in this offseason. He's already guaranteed next year at a pretty substantial, certainly not a top-end quarterback salary, but a pretty substantial salary, a nice raise for him. And if he balls out, then either hit free agency or, you know, you really put the screws to him, and they have to tag him the following year. I think the Browns should show patience. I don't think they should overpay right now. Now, if you can get him for, oh, I don't know, 3 for $90 or something, that's something I would consider, because I think the value of him is closer to $30 million than it is to $40 million. But I don't think there's any real huge incentive for either side now to get this done. So the idea that he's playing for his job over these last 7-8 weeks, I think that's foolish, because he's already going to be their quarterback next year. They're financially committed to him. And he can only make himself more money in the next, you know, 12 to 18 months. He's lost all the money he's going to lose. There's really nowhere farther for him to fall. So I don't know what incentive he and his representatives would have to go and try to get a deal done this offseason, because his market's just so diminished.
Adam Beasley joining us from the Pro Football Network. Follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. What have you thought of Andrew Berry so far in his tenure with the Browns?
I mean, you look at the results, you can't be happy, right? I mean, this is an incredibly talented team that's underachieving. So is that a function of coaching? I mean, is it a function of getting the quarterback wrong? I don't know, but there's way too much talent on this team for them to be where they are in the standings. And I know they've had injuries to their quarterback and all that, but the way the defense looked last week was just unacceptable. And they've had some back end issues, I know, but with the front they have, they should not be getting destroyed like they have been. And I think, to me, that's, you know, yes, the offense has been bad. I mean, they've had, what, two or three really good games, and the rest has been average to below average the rest of the year. But, I mean, when you're giving up 45, 37, 47, 33, I know they've had some good games sprinkled in there too, but defense is a concern. So you look at the totality of the roster, and you think, why is it underachieving? Did they miss on players, or is the coaching bad? It's one of the two.
Well, not only that, Adam, the defense has been all over the map. They've had some unbelievable performances this year. We certainly know how good Myles Garrett has been, Defensive Player of the Year candidate, and many think could be the leader right now at the halfway point, just past that in the league. So how could the defense have a game like they just had against a rookie quarterback? I know it's McDaniels and Belichick, but still a rookie quarterback.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think the Patriots are the best team in the AFC right now. So, and I know that's going to anger a lot of people. I think they're the most complete team in the AFC right now. I do, and they struggled to start the season as most teams do with a rookie quarterback. But their defense is excellent. Their run game is really, really good. And if you get four or five big plays out of a rookie quarterback a game, and he doesn't make mistakes, there's a blueprint there for them to go deep in the playoffs. I mean, the AFC is so flawed that we can't – it's crazy. We can't even count the Browns out yet. It's really so upside down. Nobody believes in the Titans because they're doing this without Derrick Henry, and at some point they're going to regress, or everyone feels like. Maybe the Bills get their stuff together, but they're not playing their best football. I think the Bills' best football is the best in the AFC, but they're not playing their best football. So it's pretty wide open. So I wouldn't crush the Browns for a one-off losing to the Patriots. I mean, it was a terrible loss, obviously. But they've boat raced teams for years now in that style, just completely drummed them when they get some turnovers and they get the ball down rolling down the road. But I think New England has the goodest chance as anybody to be playing in L.A. in February. I think they're that good and they're that talented. So let's see how they do this week. I mean, if they don't show up against the Lions, then it's total crisis time. I mean, you got to just not beat the Lions, but bludgeon them after what happened last week. I wouldn't give up on the season yet if you're Cleveland, just because the AFC is so bad, and 9-8 and 10-7 will definitely get into the playoffs this year.
Adam, let's talk about the parity right now in the NFL, and people will argue, well, there's always parity, but I can't remember a situation like this where at this stage of the season I can make an argument for, I feel like, 15 teams to potentially win the Super Bowl, and I can make just as much of a passionate argument against all those teams. Is it like this every year and we just don't really pay attention that closely?
No, I mean, the super teams that we've had are gone. I mean, every single year it would be the Patriots, the Steelers, or the Colts in the Super Bowl from the AFC. The NFC had a little bit more variance, but those super teams are gone. And I think it's also a function of Patrick Mahomes not playing as well. I mean, certainly I was out in Vegas this past weekend and he looked fabulous, but I mean, on the season he hasn't played great. If he gets back to where he is, maybe we'll have one of those super teams again. But I think that's more of a function than anything, that you've had quarterback injuries. You know, Kyler Murray's missed some games. The Rams are dealing with, you know, trying to make some new pieces fit. These things sometimes kind of figure themselves out. I said I'm pretty bearish on the Titans long term. I'm kind of bullish on the Rams, even though they've looked like crap the last couple of weeks, just because they have all that talent. McVay is brilliant, and he'll figure it out. But you asked about the parity. I think going to a seven-team field in each conference has made a lot of these teams that we thought would have no shot be a viable playoff contender. I mean, the Denver Broncos still have a playoff pulse, and they blew, you know, they sold away their best player 2 weeks ago. So yeah, I think the NFL obviously is happy with where things have gone. That, you know, we're standing here in November 18th, and three quarters of the NFL still has a viable path to playoffs. I think they love that. But you're right. It is kind of strange this year that there aren't teams that, you know, you're like, you could pencil the Patriots in the AFC Championship game every single year. There's not a single team, maybe with the exception of the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are legit. They could make a, you know, they'll make a run. They'll be there deep. But there's not a single team that I'll say, yeah, they're going to be in the conference championship game, just because, as I mentioned, there's just so much variance.
That variance, though, you said, you know, you just don't have those automatically really good super teams like we think about it in the NBA. And I'm just wondering, is it because of the cap? Is it have to do with a year after COVID? What do you make of the fact that we have had almost no home field advantage in the NFL this year? and the fact that almost basically every good team in the NFL has had a couple floundering weeks.
I think the salary cap does have something to do with it. These teams aren't as deep as they were, and they've lost, what was it, 10 to 15% of the cap went down this past year because of COVID. I think also it's kind of it speaks to the strength of the league that we have so many good quarterbacks in the NFL that they make teams that might not have great rosters viable. And I think the Titans are another example, is that nobody talks about Ryan Tannehill, and I don't think he's a top five quarterback, but he's played like a top 10, top 12 quarterback, and a guy like him can get hot and beat teams you wouldn't expect them to beat, like winning in L.A. I don't think anybody saw that coming without Derrick Henry, with Adrian Peterson out there for the first time in a year. But because there are so many talented quarterbacks, and they start these guys so young now that, I mean, even Jimmy Garoppolo looked great last week, and Garoppolo had been written off, and people were calling for Trey Lance. So, yes, I think the cap has something to do with it. This is what the NFL has legislated, that they want these teams to be all the same, so everyone has a chance. And I think there's just so many good quarterbacks right now in the National Football League that it gives a lot of teams chances in games they probably don't deserve.
Of the rookies, who are you most concerned with quarterbacks?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I mean, you would probably say, wow, that is, I mean, it's got to be Zach Wilson, right? I mean, I would say Lance because he hasn't looked great in the time he's played, but he hasn't really been given a chance. But the fact that they're, you know, there's this conspiracy theory out of New York right now that the reason they sat Mike White is because, you know, Zach is close to returning. And they don't want there to be a quarterback controversy. They don't want to have to be like, oh, no, we're going away from the hot hand, which is crazy because Mike White threw four picks last week. But, you know, we don't want to have that division in our locker room. So we're going to start Flacco, and the next week it'll be Wilson. Crazy way to run a franchise, obviously. But the idea that that's even a conversation, that journeyman Mike White might be enough for the fan base to sour and Zach Wilson, who was a number two pick in the draft, that speaks to how poorly he's played this year. And you look at how the Jets have operated without him, and some games certainly last week was brutal, but they've had some pretty good offensive outputs without him. Even with Josh Johnson as their number three in there for a spell, I think that is pretty troublesome. But we have to forget, these guys are so young. Like, is Zach Wilson 22 years old yet? I don't think he is. I mean, he's really young. He didn't get a ton of high-level snaps in college. Same with Trey Lance. These guys are babies still, so... You know, yes, certainly it's worrisome that he has played very poorly and then he got hurt. That is not how you want your rookie season to go. But let's give it a beat. Let's see full off season next year how these guys come back. I mean, that Jets team, I don't know if you've looked at the roster, it's just egregious. I mean, it's really, really bad. So it's not like he has a lot of support there anyway. But, yeah, if you're asking me for the number one rookie, I've got some worries about it. It's him.
All right, the Jacksonville Jaguars are 2-7, and there were a lot of early gaffes by Urban Meyer, and a lot of people thought he's not even going to make it through the year. Now that we've seen them 9 games in, their defense seems to be getting better and better almost every week. They've had a much more competitive shot to win games. I know their quarterback has not played well, and he's been put in some bad situations, but what do we make of Urban Meyer's first year?
I mean, if you had told me at the beginning of the season that the Jags would go 4-13 or whatever, which is probably what they're going to end up, I was like, yeah, that sounds right. But the fact that he has got his histrionics and, you know, he looks like he's being stabbed in the back every single time they have to go 3-and-out or something, it's added to the mystique and drama of that organization. And you throw in his ill-fated night out in Columbus. There's been a lot of, you know, I think what you want out of a head coach is stability and leadership more than anything else. You want it's a CEO as much as anything is, and I don't think Urban grasped that or cared to grasp that early on. He just thought, hey, how I did in college is going to work, how I'm going to do it in the NFL. Now, the sign of a good coach is someone who adapts, and he's kept his head down, and they played, as you mentioned, better in recent weeks, and I think that they're going to have an insane amount of cap space this coming offseason. They're going to have premium draft picks again. They always do. So there is a path for them to get better. I think that, you know, I think Trevor's been okay. I mean, he turns the ball over too much, but I think he's been okay. And you see the natural talent that's like, wow. And again, these guys are young. And I'm as guilty of it as anyone that you make snap judgments on players far too soon. So we'll see how it plays out. But, like, all these things, like, I was with you. I was like, week three, it's like, oh, man, there's no way Urban's going to survive this season. But we forget how long this season is. Guys, training camp was, like, it started almost 4 months ago, and we still have another 2 months till the Super Bowl. Or 3 months, I'm sorry, another 3 months till the Super Bowl. It is such a marathon in this league. So maybe Urban has, you know, figured out, hey, this is not the way to go about business and made some changes. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
Denzel Ward, we're getting ready for a contract year coming up. You know, fifth-year option, same draft as Baker Mayfield. Do you think he's long-term with the Browns?
That's a question above my pay grade. I mean, he's played all right, right? He hasn't been a liability. I mean, he's certainly a very talented player. It all comes down to the price point. Do I think he's going to set the cornerback market? No. If he's okay taking less than that, I could see him coming back.
Okay. Adam, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
All right, guys.
Adam Beasley. Find him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley, Pro Football Network Insider.
What'd you think of that parody?
Wasn't very confident about Denzel Ward, but no. Either way, that's good stuff. Go ahead.
What'd you think of that parody discussion? Are you noticing it? I know we're so in the bubble of, you know, hey, it's wide open. That's good. That's good. That's good. Well, is it really good?
You have a cap that goes down, and you have more on quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are the main position we talk about with the game.
But why are teams having so many flops?
Because they got to pay their quarterbacks more. It's such a weird thing because you think in basketball, it's like, well, you pay LeBron $40 million, you pay Steph $40 million, you pay hopefully someday Evan Mobley $40 million, and then they take over games, and then you try to put pieces around those guys. In the NFL, we're willing to pay these guys an obscene amount of money, but you have so many more pieces you have to be in charge of. And these dynasties do not last as long as we think they are. That's why when people talk about Tom Brady, it's like, hey, man, he's in a different stratosphere. It's different for him. It's the perfect scenario where a team can guilt a player into taking less, because you can't do that with any other player, because they are, like, there's generational wealth from both sides with Tom Brady's nuclear family. With everything else, or immediate family, I should say, with everybody else, you are the source of generational wealth. This is it. So you can't afford, or you are told that you can't afford, future generations of your family can't afford to cut anybody a break. Certainly not in the NFL. Well, they'll cut you just as soon as look at you. We have way more. You brought up yourself. How many of these contracts do we get to the end to where both sides are happy with the performance? The player's happy, which usually we don't get to the end of that contract, or the team's happy. It never happens, or very, very rarely. So nobody's going to cut each other slack, and you're going to see it where we'll say, it's team friendly, it's team friendly, it's team friendly. Is it? Because they'll make decisions on the other end. And I know that there's players that you have to have, and you'll keep those have to have players because you have to have them, maybe not to go to the Super Bowl, but to keep people employed. But the other ones that fill out the roster that do get you to that Super Bowl, you don't have them. All of a sudden, you're 10-7 instead of 14-3. 216-578-0092. Coming up next, Lyman better watch his mouth when he heads to Toledo next week. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.